Straya. There you go. That's right. It's NBA Straya. It is Tuesday, March 2nd. All day. Can you believe that?
Mate, it's almost like, you know, Labor Day long weekend, All-Star weekend, bro. Can't wait.
Yeah. Anyway, this is NBA Straya. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer sometimes. Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie Rub, Bull Mag, and literally whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff, that booze money, that walking around groin. Here in Larry Armour Studios, giving you the lowdown on all the ins and outs of the NBA season while ripping straight just a little bit. That's what we do today. We are talking about another coach getting shit canned. Oh, geez. But that's what we do. We do that sort of stuff here. Talking about a retirement. Talking about the Mellow Bowl. Love a good Mellow Bowl. Tell me about it.
420 every day.
We've got a ripper set of NBA Straya game wraps for you as well, though, because this was a really fun NBA day. Lots of stuff going on. That means that's not an iPhone, mate. No mate, spot of the night, better than Lonzo Ball. We've got Yeah Nas, we've got the unpopular opinion of the day, and we've got Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grilled take. There's Australian Player Watch, and it's Tuesday, so that means we've got a Shane Heal Shooter Shoot Shoot Your Shot Light 'em Up award, as well as the game previews for tomorrow, of course. Bit of a pick and preview for each of those, and we'll close out with a brand new Jingles HR. Love a good Jingles HR. That's always very fun. He's answering a question in a surprise twist from, what is it, Lloyd in Atlanta. Oh, that's just sad. Right, anyway, let's do it. NBA Straya episode 561. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
You better watch out for the attack of the GM trying to save his job. So he fires the coach. Jeez. Right, let's start off today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Straya with the daily whip around. There you go, Atlanta. That's right, the Hawks. Kaká have just fired Lloyd Pierce. A couple of years on the job. Nate McMillan steps in. But nicely enough, Nate McMillan, no snake in the grass here. Even though he's been an interim head coach twice before. This is his third interim head coaching gig. Basically he was an assistant coach when Vogel got fired. And they just promoted him from the assistant staff in Indy. Assistant and then interim in, I believe, Seattle. Yeah, my beloved Seattle Supersonics. Anyway, so he steps in, old Nate McMillan, after checking and having a meeting with Lloyd Pierce and the rest of the coaching staff before taking that interim gig, which is kind of nice. He's like, man, I've got Lloyd's fucking back the entire way, bro. And it's like, that's very nice. So 2 years on the job, they were 14-20 this year. They had 11 losses, though, after leading at some point in the fourth quarter. In 20 of those games. That is brutal, isn't it? Unbelievable. So 63-120 over his couple of years in charge of the Hawks as they were rebuilding. 63-120. It's pretty fucking tough. You get that. But geez, talk about tough, however. The bloke just had a baby. I mean, well, his partner did. He didn't. It's not some sort of Schwarzenegger Jr. situation. But yeah, just to show you what a great organization they're running there in Atlanta, shit canning the bloke literally a week or two after he's had a baby, and one of the Hawks players has basically found out about it via fucking Twitter. No heads up. Not even a cursory fucking SMS. That's a message. You can't do a group message on the WhatsApp. What are you doing, Trevor Schlenk? What are you doing, Hawks? You can't just go, hey, Dominique, can you tell everybody? It's fucking crazy. So they fire the coach. One of the players finds out because he's looking at Twitter. That's fucked. Atlanta, you're a shit show. Clown show. Anyway, other news. Joakim Noah. That's the retirement we were talking about. The official retirement for Joakim. I'll tell you what. You start feeling fucking old as soon as blokes where you're like, his college team were awesome. I fucking love watching him in college. It was like 2 years ago, right? It's like, no. That was 14 years ago. When he and Florida were fucking out there crushing it. Yeah, that's when you're old. Joakim Noah, 13-year NBA career, comes to a close. Two-time All-Star. What was he? Defensive Player of the Year? 2013-14. He was an absolute fucking terror. Love that. Three-time All-Defensive Team member. Made the All-NBA team in 13-14 as well. He was incredible. And I, like, myself and obviously fucking anybody who was paying attention to the NBA, late thousands into the early tens, I'm pretty sure a lot of us have a pretty fucking soft spot for those Bulls team that never made it quite over the hump. The D-Rose injuries really fucked them. Jimmy Butler started there. Joakim Noah was crushing it. The Carlos Boozer, then into Taj Gibson teams. They were a lot of... Look, I'm not going to say they were a lot of fun. They were gritty. They were kind of awesome. The Ben Gordon years, love that shit. Love those Bulls teams. And Joakim Noah, off he goes. Riding off into that sunset. Just don't ask my buddy X about him. the NBA announced their players of the week. Giannis Antetokounmpo in the East. And in the West, Devin Sukabuka. Oh, the Suka. Good on him. Did he get player of the week for not making the All-Star team? I'm assuming they're going to announce the rookies of the month and the players of the month probably tomorrow, overnight out time. My guess, rookies of the month, going to be, what, Ant-Man? Anthony Edwards out there in the West. And probably LaMelo Ball in the East. No doubt about that one. And the players of the month, at a guess, I want to say James Harden or Giannis in the East. Probably Harden. And maybe, who do you want in the West? I'm going to guess Luka. Yeah, why not? Or Dame. It'll be Dame or Luka in the West, Harden in the East. Nice. The Raptors-Pistons game that was going to be tomorrow is now being postponed for Thursday. So there, Wednesday, our Thursday. Good on them. The Raptors still basically just trying to get over their contact tracing, knocking dudes out of a whole bunch of games. Already had one game postponed. They're trying to get, that was what, Chicago, Toronto. They're trying to get Detroit, Toronto back on schedule before the break. So good on them. Right, let's do some game wraps.
Game wraps, 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 game wraps,
game wraps. Philly beat the Indiana Pacers. And I reckon Indy might have to fire Nate McMillan again. Jimmy, he's not even their coach anymore. I know. Can they fire somebody just to give themselves a shot in the ass? Because they are in struggle town, the Indiana Pacers. And look, I mentioned this literally on yesterday's show, right? No Caris LeVert, my sweet baby. No TJ Bubble MJ Warren. Doesn't matter. They've lost four on the trot. They're 15-18. They're out of play. Well, they're out of the top eight at the moment. And just shit's looking a bit sketchy. Philly fucking dominated this one. They win 131-14. That's no shit, Dimmy. Oh, duh. But the problem for Indy, it's not quite their offense, I think, at the moment. It's their D. They let a team that's offensively as challenged as fucking Philly drop 130 on them. Jesus. So Indy need to sort that shit the fuck out. There's just not quite enough in the perimeter. The Souvlaki King is not doing enough on D. Miles Turner can only do so much. And this is all like also one of those games for Philly where it's like the same thing as the Lakers, right? When you got two cornerstones in Simo and Embiid for the Lakers, you've obviously got LeBron and AD. When you get of your rotating cast of role players, if you've got two of them that just have a good fucking game, you're probably going to win. In this one for the Sixers, it was Shake and fucking Furkan Korkmaz. They went off. They shot 9 of 18 from downtown between the two of them. Scored 45 points combined. Actually, the Sixers bench outscored the Sixers starters. 67-63, I think. So, pretty great. But meanwhile, the Indy offense was just fucking ragged. Not good. Look, we know that the Philly D is pretty fucking good. But Jesus, Suva could not get going against Embiid, Simo, Mike Scott. Our Presidente was pretty rough. Look, they shot 8 of 29 from downtown the Pacers. They had 19 turnovers. Yeesh. Souvlaki King had 15-9-7 with 4 turnovers. Only took 12 shots. This is a lot. Look, we've talked about this before. It's the, you know, the Embiid and Simo effect where it's like, oh shit, I can't even get a shot off. And every time I try to do anything, I fucking turn it over. So, tough day for the Domantas Sabonis Souvlaki King train. Our Presidente, Malcolm Brogdon, shot 9 of 17, rather. Not bad, Jimmy, but he did go 0 of 3 from downtown, and the Souvlaki King did as well. So, if you've got those two starters going 0 of 6 from 3, you're going to be in spot of bother. And they were 24-4 for El Presidente in the end. 11 points, 3 rebounds for Miles Turner. Just not enough. And Jazzy Holiday had 12 points on 4 of 9 shooting, all 4 threes. But the Pacers just had nothing. Dougie McBuckets was rubbish. For the Sixers, Embiid had 24 points, 13 rebounds and 5 assists in like no fucking time. He did that in 27 minutes. It's just, We'll talk about him again later, but god damn, not bad. Simo had 18 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals. He was crushing it. Shake Milton, though, as mentioned, 26 points, shoots 9 of 14. Bloody good. And fucking Furkan Korkmaz, 19 points for him, 6 of 13 from downtown. He was huge. Absolutely huge. And look, they need those two dudes to step up when Tobias Harris isn't playing. They did. They win. Indy dropped to 15 and 18. Philly, absolutely cruising now, 23 and 12 on top of the East. Dallas went down to Orlando and beat the Magic men, 131-24. This was like looking like a bit of a boil over early. The Magic fucking came out to play. And then Jalen Brunson got going in the second half. There's the extreme zinger meal. He was absolutely rubbish in the first half.
Extreme zinger meal.
Got going in the second half. He missed 8 shots straight in the first half, but made 4 straight in the second half, which included a couple of threes, a bunch of free throws as well, crushing it. Ends up with 17 and 10. Good job. But this got tight again. Evan, don't Google me, Fournier hits a 3 in the third quarter. Tied it up. But then he sort of left the game again. Like, he was a bit banged up. Sore groin. Sore back. The Mavs rested back control and then just ran away with this one. Brunson was fucking incredible in the second half. Luka did kind of everything all the time. And the Mavs just couldn't miss either. So, good game for them. The Magic Man, for their part, hit 20 of 41 from downtown and lost. Brutal scenes. Their defense just didn't step up either, though. Like, you can hit 20 of 41 from downtown and still lose pretty fucking easily in today's NBA if your defense doesn't fucking do anything. Vooch, 29 points, 15 rebounds, 8 assists. He was 5 of 8 from downtown. Do you reckon this is a please trade me? Please! I reckon it's a plea for help from Vooch. Fournier had 26 points. He was 8 of 13 as well, crushing it before he left. MCW also had 18 points on 8 of 13 shooting. Not bloody bad. Also had 8 rebounds and 6 assists. He did a 3. Michael Carter-Williams out there dropping threes. Love to see it. T-Rolls had 18 points and 7 of 17 shooting. Not enough there for the Magic Men, though. Still no Aaron Air Gordon. Obviously no Cole Anthony at the moment. You've still got no Markel Fultz. You've got no bloody Johnny Isaacs. Just a bit of a shit show. The Mavs, look, for their part, they shot 17 of 46 from 3. Shot over 52% from the floor in general. Luka had 33, 10, and 9. He was awesome. Zinger, as mentioned, 17 and 10. But it really was Jalen Brunson who absolutely crushed it for the Mavs. 24 points, 6 rebounds, 9 of 13 shooting. He went 3 of 6 from downtown, just on the down low. He's having a great fucking year. He had 17 points in that second half. And that was hugely important for the Mavs, right? Like, Hardaway the Lesser is a bad game. He had 5 points and 2 of 8 shooting. And Brunson is like, ah, it's all right, fellas. And people are going to be like, oh, the Mavs are shit if they're relying on Jalen Brunson. I think you're underestimating just how fucking fun and good Jalen Brunson can be, though. It's exactly who they need. He's basically like a bigger... He's a cross between JJ Barea and Deshaun Stevenson. It's like classic Mav mashup. Anyway, Orlando dropped to 13 and 22. Dallas slip up to 17 and 16. Feeling good. Couple of wins on the trot. Now just hanging around right in the morass around the middle of the West. So good job. Denver, speaking of the middle of the West, they beat Chicago 118-112. This was a really fun game. A really fun game. Because Denver jumped out to a fast start. Bulls got back into it, which was kind of cool because the boiling Bulls of your last couple of years would have lost like this by fucking 18. Zach LaVine would have punched him in the head after the game or some shit. but they fought back and took the lead in the fourth quarter. They got up 6 in the fourth quarter, did Chicago. It looked like they had like all the momentum. And then they couldn't do it. They couldn't hold on. It was absolutely crazy because Nikola Jokic, hello, dominated. They were still up 2 with 2 minutes left as well, the Bulls, but they couldn't quite get over the hump down the stretch. They had their chances, but Denver just settled with, down 2. Joker hits a dunk and an and 1. Jamal Murray knocks in a 3. Denver is suddenly up 4 out of fucking nowhere within 2 possessions, basically. Thad Junk Bucket got a Junk Bucket. 2-point game, 1 minute left. But Joker just hits a massive jumper for his 38 and 39th points. LaVine got a weird sort of travel call where you're like, was that a block? What the fuck just happened? I think he blocked that. Did that guy just steal his wallet? Fouled Will the Thrill late down the stretch. Free throw game, Denver come away with the win. But look, the fact that Chicago got right back in this one with Denzel Valentine shooting like shit, Wendell not doing much, was kind of neat. Like, even Zachy Cakes Adam Levine didn't have a great game. He went 9 of 20 for his 23 points. Went 1 of 8 from downtown. Kobe White went 7 of 17. He had, 20 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 of 7 from downtown. So if those two combined go 3 of 15 from downtown and you're actually in a game against Denver, I'm not sure if it's a fucking indictment on Denver being shit or if Chicago just have a nice little bit of fight in them. I want to go with both of them. I think Denver might be shit. I'm just saying. We might be sitting there going, Denver are going to be fine. I don't know that they are. Look, this took a Joker fucking out of the fucking box performance to win this against Chicago, who don't know any better. And it was awesome. So Kobe, as mentioned, 20 points, 10 rebounds, 13 and 4 for Patch Williams. I'm calling him Patch. I don't like Pat Williams. It's such a fucking boy. He's Patch. His name is Patch. Old man. There's an old looking dude too. Just saying. He's like young as shit. He was like the youngest dude in the draft. And he looks like he's fucking 48. Just go have a look at Pat Williams right now. Patch. 5 of 15 shooting and 13 points for Denzel. Valentine. Wendell. Carter Jr. couldn't quite keep up either. Thad Junkbuckets kept it up. Kept up his torrid streak since buying into the Brisbane Bullets, who I saw the other night. Great to see Anthony Drimmick and Jace Cadet, friends of the program. Drimmick fucking crushed it the other day, I'm just saying as well. Anyway, Thad Junkbuckets, 6 and 9 from the floor, 12 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 5 steals. Crushed it, but they just couldn't care with the Nuggets because they've got no one on that roster. Look, Wendell Carter might get there, but Joker just fucking towed the Bulls. 39, 14, and 9. He's going to pop up again later. Jamal Murray had 24. He went 4 of 8 from downtown as well as those big buckets late. MPJ was really good in this one too. 17 points, 15 rebounds, shot 7 of 10. Michael Porter Jr. doesn't like a vaccination, loves a bucket. Will the Thrill Barton had 14 points. And good to see PJ Dozier out there getting big minutes. Also, talk about indictments on how bad the Nuggets might be. The fact that PJ Dozier is playing big minutes for them, bit fucky. We gave away Malik Beasley. We didn't want to pay him. Yeah, now you got nothing left. Just saying. Anyway, this team is weird. The Nuggets are weird. They're 19 and 15. Chicago are 15 and 18. Tough loss for them, but look, they're still right within punching distance of the eight, so good on them. Utah! Oh, it's a bit of a shame, bro. Utah, 27 and 8 now. You hate to see it. They've lost one. They lose to the Pels 129-124 in hilarious fashion. The Pelicans are up 17 in this. They're up, let me get this straight, 14 points with less than 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. How could they possibly lose this? Utah went on a 16-3 run, cut it to 1 point, and then Mike Conley fucked it. The last minute of this game is just, it's definitely not champagne basketball, I'll tell you that much. Conley was horrible. Trying to draw a foul, trying to shoot a three. You're like, Mike, what are you doing, Mike? Fuck. Great performance by the Pelicans in this game. The Jazz's defense just fell apart. I think New Orleans had a 125 offensive rating in this game. They took 43 threes, the Jazz. The Pelicans shot 11 threes in a game, an NBA game, in 2021, and won. They had 74 points in the paint. Yeah, that'll do it. The Jazz, Bojan had 31. Donny Mitchell, not a great night for him. 21 points on 21 shots. He was all right down in the stretch in the fourth, but just, again, ran out of legs. Couldn't keep up with the Pels. 1 of 8 from 3. Just looks a little bit banged up as well. He even said after the game, yeah, I fucking couldn't quite get up there other than this dunk. Hurt my finger because I banged it on the rim because it was a bad dunk. It's like, Jesus. Conley had 10 points on 4 of 12 shooting. Jesus. Rudy had 22 points, 9 rebounds, and 5 blocks. He was a gun. Jordan Jeremy Jackson? Sure. He's now Danish. 20 points. Jingle and Joe Ingles. Gotta talk about him later. Didn't hit a shot. Oh, no. First time since 2018. Pelicans, they shot 56%, only 11 threes. As mentioned, they went 7 of 11 from downtown. That's a huge percentage. Good job. Zion had 26 and 10 with 5 assists and 6 turnovers, but he did go 10 of 17 from the floor. Spindles went 11 of 20 from the floor, 0 threes. He had 26 points. Lonzo went 3 of 5 from downtown. He had 23 points, 7 rebounds and 8 assists. He was gunning it. JJ had 17 points, 11 points on 13 shots of Bledsoe. Didn't matter. Pelicans roll. Massive game from them. Josh Hart was doing great shit. Pelicans kicking some ass. I picked them to cover this game. I thought it was going to be close. Didn't expect them to win it really outright, but here they are. They won. The Utah Jazz are now 27-8. New Orleans back up to 15-19. Speaking of blown leads, the Nets. They're romping this one home. romping, I'll tell you. They're up 10. Up 10. 2 minutes left. It's over. It's all over. I'll tell you what. Nope. They're up 10 and then they weren't. The Spurs went on an 8-0 run in the last minute. Absolutely fucking bonkers. And then a huge last defensive possession. Harden takes a fucking horrible shot. It barely grazes the rim off the backboard. DeAndre Jordan gets the offensive rebound, kicks it out to Kyrie. No time left on the clock for the Spurs. Or so it seemed. They don't foul. Even though they're down two, they're like, fuck it, we're not fouling. Kyrie waltzes into the paint, misses the layup. Dejounte Murray gets the ball, runs the length of the court, falls over. James Harden, there's probably a foul there. Kind of half gets up, throws it up, launches the prayer, and bang, in it goes. Dejounte Murray, you star. We're going to OT. Unfortunately for the Spurs, they then got their ass kicked in the overtime because Harden and Kyrie, for all of like Kyrie's struggles for the rest of the game, they couldn't fucking miss in overtime. Miss. They, like, literally, before you could blink, they'd rattled off an 8-0 run. Bruce Brown knocked in a 3. Harden had a 3. Oh, no. Harden had a 2. Kyrie had a 3. It was like, holy shit. And, like, yeah, Brooklyn 8-0 out of the fucking gate. End up outscoring them 16-5 in the overtime. And that was kind of all she wrote. But Jesus! DeJounte Murray, they nearly steal this unbelievable game. The Spurs go 15-35 from 3. They're still sneaky. They're still awesome. Even with, like, half their team missing or shit, the Spurs are still right in these games. Look, the Nets were cruising. This game was over, and the Spurs just come out of fucking nowhere. And you're like, oh, yeah, Nets, defense, it's important. And for blokes who are like got these big fourth-quarter balls, apparently, Harden and Kyrie just took some horrible shots down the stretch. Anyway, DeMar had 22 points, 11 assists. He was great. DeJounte Murray, the most improved player in the NBA this year, 19 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists. 8-15 shooting. He was awesome. Lonnie Walker, the fourth, 19-4-4 as well. He hit 5 of 10 threes. Patty had 14, 14-12 for Teenage Mutant Jakob Poeltl. He was great. Tell you who wasn't great, LaMarcus Aldridge. He was fucking shit, mate. We'll talk about him later. Harden had a great game. A great game. 30 points, 14 rebounds, 15 assists, 2 steals. He was a gun. 12-23 from the floor, 3-7 from downtown. Kyrie Irving had 27-7-6, shot 6-10 from 3, unbelievable. And Nicky Claxton, oh, big Nick, big dick Nick Claxton, 17 points, 3 rebounds, 7-9 from the floor. Loved it. He played a great game. He was awesome. He's been the project big man in like the Nets system for just a little bit now. Now he's a little bit healthy. He's had, you know, a couple of problems here and there. Looked dangerous. Fucking love it. The Nets are going to be looking at this going, we need to play Nick Claxton as much as we possibly fucking can. Because if this precludes us from trading for fucking Andre Drummond or signing Boogie, this could be a massive win. But also, the flip side to, you know, dudes who fit in great on the Nets, Bruce Brown is crushing it. 23 points in this. Like, Joey Harris isn't having the greatest game in this one. He goes 3-10 from the floor, 9 points, 3-8 from 3. Bruce Brown just goes, don't worry, boys, I've got this. 10-13, 2-3 from downtown. 23 points. He was awesome. And the fact that Detroit gave him up for basically fucking nothing is unbelievable. Oh, we don't want to pay him. And then it's like, yoink. Spurs now 17-13. Brooklyn get their first win in San Antonio since the 2003 NBA Finals. I think there was a stat that they're now like 5-23 all time, or something like that. It's fucking bananas in the regular season. That makes a bit. I don't know. Yeah, close. Anyway, might be a little bit more. Can't remember. I was just jotting shit down. But good job, Brooklyn! There was always some close ones when they go into San Antonio. But yeah, first win since 2003 finals. Unbelievable. Cleveland, what?
Cleveland!
Beat Houston 101-90. Oh boy, the Rockets are horrible. They were fucked in this one from the start against Cleveland. They were on a back-to-back. Cleveland led after one, kept their noses in front. Houston actually snuck in front in the fourth quarter, then bang! The Cavs, ironically, put them to the sword and then stretched it out too. Like, they went from down one. I think Thrift Shop hit a three. They were down one. 10 minutes left in the game. 3.5 minutes later, they're up 12. The Cavs. That is fucking crazy. So Thrift Shop hits a three. Chetty the Jedi hits a three in response. Sexman gets a layup, then he hits a three. JaVale gets a dunk, and Chetty hits another three. Boom. 12-point Cavs lead. Sexton takes over a little bit more down the stretch. They just keep their noses in front. Boom. He had 13 points in the fourth quarter. He was incredible. Game over. Cavs, unbelievable. John Wall had a season high, 32-5. Good job for him. Victor Oladipo gave us the Victor special. The Victor Oladipo special is the 8 of 21 from the floor, 20-point game. 2 of 6 from 3. Are you starting to think that Victor Oladipo's little purple patch that he had there in Indy, the ball in his hand all the time, never the most efficient dude, might have just been the absolute fucking peak of him? Will he ever get back there? Who knows? Best of luck trading for him, New York. Miami. 3 rebounds. He'd be amazing in Miami, though. What are we talking about? 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals. No one else in double figures. That's fucking horrible, the Rockets. You've got Wall, you've got Victor. No one else in double figures. PJ Tucker. Talk about, like, losing your BFF. Harden gets traded. PJ's like, take me with you, James! And they didn't. He's been shit ever since. They've lost, 11 on the trot? 12 on the trot. Jesus. Unbelievable. Sterling Brown had 8 points on 8 shots, but the Rockets are shit. We'll talk about them in a little bit. Sexton at 39. It was unbelievable. 11 of 20 from the floor. 4 of 8 from downtown. Sealed the game. Team high, 8 assists, 2 steals. Go the throw, Allen. 8th straight double-double for him. 10 points. Game high, 15 rebounds. Couple of blocks. Darius Rucker, Judy Garland had 14 points, 7 assists, 3 steals. Chetty the Osman had 11 points, hit 3 threes. He was great. McGee had 10 points and 5 rebounds and 3 blocks. D-Wade hits the sealer as well. Love that. He had a great and one right down the stretch. It was basically like, right, fuck you, Rockets. On your way. D-Wade, 8 points, 5 rebounds and assist and block. And you're like, oh, D-Wade. Yeah, Dean Wade. The other D-Wade. I love it. He's so fucking just random and just like, oh, I'm basically the same dude as Dwayne Wade, bro. And it's like, are you though? But are you? And it's like, no, he's not. Love to see it. Anyway, what else? Who else did we have? So he played 28 minutes. Dean Wade. He was a gun. Absolutely unreal. 8 points, 5 rebounds. Whatever. Cavs now on a 4-game winning streak. They're 14-21. Houston have lost 12 on the trot. They're 11-22. They haven't won since February 4. They could go a month without winning. Jesus. Anyway. And then the final game of today, Charlotte at Portland. This was wildly fun. 123-111. The Squid and I watched a lot of this one. How fucking good is the Mellow Bowl? La Mellow versus Carmelo. There's only one Mellow in my book. They call him Mellow Yellow. No, it's Mellow. Carmelo Anthony. Like, La Mellow, we can't call him Mellow yet. It's not even Mellow Trimble, bro. Like, Charlotte came out like the clappers in this one. The Blazers reeled him back in during the second quarter, kept him at arm's length the rest of the way. Dame was doing work. Bobby Covington had a cracker of a game. And the Hornets just couldn't do much on the second night of a road back-to-back, especially without Gordy or the bank teller Cody Zeller. But LaMelo fucking tried. He really fucking tried. They got it close. They're like, the Blazers are like, oh, shit. Shit, shit, shit. What do we do? And luckily for the Blazers, it was the Mellow Bowl. So Carmelo Anthony just went, all right, fuckheads, I'll just bosh in some fucking threes and we'll win. It's exactly what happened. Like, there was a moment in the fourth, like, Charlotte got it back to about, like, 6 points. And then off they went. There's a couple of little threatening moments here and there. It was back to 11, but Charlotte never really quite get within punching distance, and Melo just buried him. So LaMelo Ball, for his part, he was amazing. 30 points, 8 assists, 6 rebounds, and 4 steals. He goes 10 of 18 from the floor. Terry Rozier had 20 points on 8 of 17 shooting. Pretty good stuff from Terry Rozier. And Malik Monk as well, just doing great. Great to see him crushing. He had 19 in this one too. But the Hornets' problem was their D. They just could not keep up with Portland. And the fact that PJ Hamilton-Washington followed up 42 points with 3. Yeah, he might pop up again later. Just saying. The Blazers, for their part, just went, oh, better fuck around and crush it. They shot 53.5% from the floor and set a new franchise record for made threes, going 24 of 46. It's fucking huge. Dame had 23 points, 10 assists, went 6 of 15 from downtown. Melo! Is it me you're looking for, Carmelo Anthony? 29 points on 6 of 10 from downtown shooting. 10 of 19 overall. He was awesome. Gary Terrence Trent Darby Jr. at 17 as well. Ennis the Penis Cantor at 11. But the big one, I think, was Lord Robert Covington, right? 21 points, 10 rebounds, goes 5 of 7 from downtown, has 2 steals and 2 blocks. That's the dude that Portland traded 2 first for. Come on, man. What are you doing? Like, he's been up and down. Well, mostly down for, like, all fucking season. Then finally pops off, crushes it. Good on him. Good to see ya. Yeah, nice one. Anyway, Charlotte are now 16 and 18. Portland, 19 and 14. Let's do an NBA Australia Pro Performance of the Night.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Joel Olajuwon, Embiid. How's that sound? Joel Olajuwon? I don't know. I guess I'm going to try it on a little bit. Mentioned it. The casual 24, 13, and 5 in just 27 fucking minutes. But the best part was, looked like Olajuwon there for a second. Joel Olajuwon. The nice little dream shake turnaround, fucking just, you know, beautiful little jumper. It was awesome. But James Harden, 30 points, 14 rebounds, 15 assists, 2 steals, 12 of 23 from the floor, 3 of 7 from downtown. Becomes the first player to put up 30-plus points, 15-plus assists, and 10 rebounds with 0 turnovers. It's pretty fucking good. But how about the Joker? Nikola Jokic, hello! 39 points, 14 rebounds, 9 assists, a steal, and 2 blocks. Shoots 17 to 28 from the floor. Doesn't hit a 3. Goes 0-3 from downtown. 5-5 from the free throw line. But with Chicago threatening, Joker just goes, right, fuck it. I'll do it myself. Gives it to Nelson Muntz. I'll do it myself. 39 points. That fourth quarter, he had 17 points in the quarter. Banged in 7 of his 10 shots, 3-3 from the free throw line, a couple of and ones in there, and just led the Nuggets to the win. To the point where Jam and Jamal Murray, after the game, was like, yeah, man, I'm not going to lie. We ran the same play over and over. I was trying to tell Zach LaVine, I'm like, yo, you better help or else he's going to score. And he said, I'm not helping you off you, Jamal. And I'm like, all right, bet. And boom, Joker would hit another shot. It's fucking crazy. Joker was awesome. So, look. The recommendations today, Nets Spurs was awesome. Embiid crushed it. And weirdly, Denver Chicago was wildly entertaining. So go check out the Joker performance. 39, 14, and 9. He was awesome. Just feel like, you know, Denver, something fucky. Might be wasting him. How about Spud of the Night, though?
Spud, 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 it is Spud of the Night.
Spud of the Night. PJ Hamilton, Washington, I mentioned this. He followed a career-high 42 points yesterday with 3. He went 1 of 8. 1 of 8, PJ Hamilton, Washington. What are you doing, mate? So he drops a career high in the win over Sacramento yesterday, 42, shot 15 of 23 in that one, goes 1 of 8 today. He hit 5 of 8 from 3 yesterday. 5 of 3, good one, Jimmy. Goes 0 of 1 from downtown today. What the fuck are you doing? He had 4 turnovers. He had more turnovers than points after having 42 yesterday. PJ Hamilton, Washington, mate, what's going on? And also, LaMarcus Aldridge. I think we had a listener submission the other day about LaMarcus Aldridge coming off the bench. I think it was Koss. He's like, yeah, well, that'll go great. Yeah, it didn't go great today, did it? 2 points in 15 minutes from LaMarcus Aldridge. 0 of 3 from the floor, including 0 of 2 from 3. 4 rebounds and 2 turnovers and 3 fouls. Fucking hell. What an absolute Barry Crocker shocker from LaMarcus Aldridge. Oh, we just like having him here for his... for his, like, veteran leadership and stuff. I don't want to be here. Well, then fuck off. Old mate, no mates, though.
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Probably Mike Conley after that showing at the end of that Yaz game. It's like, Mike, we've gotten this far without you fucking taking shots and ruining the game. Give it to Donnie. Conley just, I don't know, he lost track of, like, the time, the score. Trying to jack up a 3, tried to draw a foul. It was just one of the worst shit shows you'll ever see. And talk about one of those ones where you, like, get back to the locker room or the fucking onto the bus and everyone's like, oh, yeah, Mike. What? Yeah, this seat's taken. Can't do it. Can't do it. Shocking scenes there from Mike Conley. But anyone on the Wolves is going to be old mate, no mate. So I mentioned this one, was it yesterday? How every time Cat scored 25 or Michael... not Michael Beasley, Malik Beasley. Super cool other bees. Every time he scored over 25, or Ant-Man scored over 25, they've lost. And Ricky Tiki Tata, Ricky Rupee, oh, was actually quoted today. We have to build good habits from day one, and I don't think we are in the right way, to be honest. I can be here and be positive like we're trying to be, and it's okay. But we have the worst record in the league. We lost way too many games. We're 20+, and I don't feel like this is building something. It's hard. You always have to take positive things, and of course, we want to get better. But at one point, we haven't got to start wanting to change something, and it's not happening. Holy shit. New coach, Chris Finchy Finch, already under the bus from Rubio. Jesus. So this is the crazy part. He's not wrong. They'd gone 13 games without losing by double digits, the Wolves. They hadn't been blown out in those 13 games. Where you're like, right, they've lost, but they haven't got their asses completely fucking kicked. In 3 of the 4 games under Chris Finchy Finch, they've been blown out by more than double digits. And Rubio's already fucking tossing the new coach, who was hired with zero consultation, clearly, to the players and co. And brought in to replace Ryan Saunders, and they've responded by being even shitter. So, yeah, just saying, Chris Finchy Finch, that's some clear fucking old mate names, isn't it? Fucking hell. Oof. Anyway, pantsy of the night. Fatty, fatty, fat, fat. Houston lost to the Cavs the day after being belted and outscored by Memphis's bench. That's a pantsing. That is 100% like you're in year 10 and you got dacked by like a year 7 kid, which is what the Cavs are. You've got John Wall and Victor Oladipo, PJ Tucker, and you're getting fucking belted by the Cavs the day after getting belted by the Memphis bench. That is definitely like a year 7 dacking you in year 10. Joel Embiid as well against Miles Turner. I say this respectfully. That's a matchup I've dominated since I got to the league. Also said he's a great player. I've got a lot of respect for him. About Miles Turner. Not really. Because you fucking pantsed him. Took him to town. It's like Joel Embiid hates like Miles Turner, Andre Drummond. And I love it. So there you go. Joel Embiid pants Miles Turner once more. But Houston, there's just... oh, that is gross. Finally, better than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think he'll get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. He's coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. Lonzo, he's been great. He had 23 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds, 2 blocks, and 0 turnovers today. He was a plus 23 in the plus minus. The thing is, his little brother, the good ball, 30 points. 10 of 18 shooting, 5 of 7 from downtown, 8 assists, 6 rebounds, and 4 steals. Just put them head-to-head with those numbers. And LaMelo's already better than Lonzo Ball. I wanted to say the sex man's Colin Sexton, because he was fucking awesome today. 39 points for the Cavs, 11 of 20 from the floor, 4 of 8 from downtown, 11 of 15 from the free throw line, 8 assists, 2 steals. He crushed it. Sex man is awesome. But the Ball brothers going up against, head-to-head on the same day. They're not playing in the same game, obviously, but LaMelo versus Lonzo. Stack it all up against each other. LaMelo, in the Melo Ball, beats out Lonzo. 30-23. 8 assists versus 8 assists. 6 rebounds versus 7. 4 steals versus 2 blocks. Unbelievable. Better shooting. Great shit. LaMelo, you are better than Lonzo Ball. Right, let's do some yeah-nas right after.
Deuce.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadeet.
This is Daryl McDonald.
Hey guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Illy.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And 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 you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
Let's do some yeah-nahs. They are brought to you by thedailyliquor.com from East Ninth Brewing. Mate, if you're in Melbourne, still warm, even though it's just finished summer. Oh, geez. And we've got, what, Labor Day coming up. You've got Easter, Anzac Day. Footy's coming back. Better load up on all the booze. So go to thedailyliquor.com if you're over 18. Check out all the awesome beer specials there. They've also got amazing wines and cocktails. They come in great packs. and the price is always right at thedailyliquor.com. So remember, it's for the Melbourne metro area, same day delivery before noon. Go get around thedailyliquor.com right now. Smash the code STRAYA and you'll get a free sixer of those Red Devils, that DOS X. Oh, the DOS XPA, you can drink it till the cows come home. And it's one of those classic ones. You can be watching a game of NBA, you're watching the Sixers, and you'll just like have the DOS X, and you'll just pound through a fucking six-pack of it in no time, turn around and go, wait, where's the rest of my sixer going? That was awesome. You're going to feel great too. What a great beer it is. Anyway, so go to thedailyliquor.com right now. Same day delivery before noon if you're in the Metro Melbourne area. Bang in that code STRAYA. Get a free sixer on your mate, Jimmy. Right, yeah, Nas. Brody Ewan. Jimmy said, Jimmy, yeah, nah. Dinwiddie smoking some good shit. So Kyrie and Harden didn't drop 27 each and win the game for the Nets tonight. Because Spencer's quote was, Nick is the second most talented player on this team. First is KD, but Nick's got game. He's got a chance to be great. Yeah, nah, Spencer, mate, Brody, you're right. Yeah, Spencer's got to be on that good shit tonight. He's got to love that good shit. Spencer Dinwiddie, I also love that he's like, hey, man, if you guys all want to buy out my contract, I'll come and play for whatever team you want me to. And like eight people pitched in like $20. He's like the classic, like, super smart dude. And you're like, all right. And then he's out there saying that Nick Claxton is the second best player in a team that also has a bloke who hit one of the most iconic shots in an NBA Finals. A bloke who's won an MVP and multiple scoring titles. Spencer must have been high as fuck to drop that quote. Good job, Spencer. And great catch, Brody. Holy shit. Second most talented player on this team. Nick Claxton's good. I'll give him that. I'm not going to say he's more talented than Kyrie and Harden. Anyway, Dan Drosher. Yeah, nah, Jimmy. Oladipo not signing an extension might lead to a complete exodus in Houston, just signing available NBL players. Yeah, nah, they might have even beaten or done a better, put in a better showing against Memphis today. That was yesterday. Yeah, nah, to be honest, Dan Drosher just adds in Landale, Humphreys, Creek, Brockoff, Sobey. You might not be wrong. They might have... Look, the Memphis bench might not have outscored the NBL fucking Houston Rocket team. You know? You've already got Jay Sean Tate. We'll keep Jay Sean. We'll throw Landale in there. The Creek Freak. Rowdy. Sobes. Throw Drim Dog on there. The Drim Reaper. And away you go. Fucking hell. Houston. So there's a big piece on, I think, at The Ringer about how Houston are, like, building this really strange rebuild. And they're going to, you know, probably flip Oladipo somewhere and do some other shit. I think that's fine. But the thing is, they might even still lose their own pick this year. So if they tank this year, they've still got like a 52% chance of fucking losing it. It's like, fucking hell. But I like Josh's idea of just signing some NBL players and going, all right, fucking come over. You got Will Weaver there in Houston as well. Just fucking start up the Houston Rocket Kings. It's like the Sydney Sea Kings, but, you know, in Houston. Next up. Finally, should Lloyd Pierce have been given the arse, Jimmy? Yeah, nah, look. Look. My answer to this shit with coaches is, yeah, if you in the organization, if the owner, the GM and co have decided that he's probably not your guy, then move on. Or if Trae Young has gone, he's not the guy, you're going to go, right, for better or worse, Trae's our dude. Even if we're fucking building this team like it's the, you know, Ballarat Miners and it's the coach's son playing or something and we're going to build all of his strengths without really giving any too short of shits about everybody else on the team and playing defense. But if Trey's gone, I want him out. But if you've also decided, look, he's not our guy, then you should move on, right? But I also think, like, in a situation like this, you got to go, Atlanta, why did we hire him? Why did we hire Lloyd Pierce? Let's look back at the reasons why we hired the guy in the first place. Was it to provide a bit of Spursian stability? Was it about player development? Was it about giving a solid base to build upon as you got better and better and better? It seems like that's the idea, right? If he's not living up to the ideas and expectations that you had then, if you were like, in 2 years' time, where do we want to be? What do we want from our coach? If he's not hitting that, then that's fine. But if he's doing okay and the expectations are now like changed on him, i.e. you've gone and signed a bunch of free agents, spent a bunch of money without really seeming to care if those signings made any fucking sense, then I think you might have done it ass backwards, right? Like, Lloyd Pierce isn't the bloke who signed and gave Gallinari $20 million a year, Rondo a fucking $7.5 million a year contract for the next 2 years, signed Chris Dunn and gave fucking Bogdan Bogdanovich 4 years, $72 million, right? Because also none of them have barely fucking played and they lost DeAndre Hunter. So I'm not sure how any of that's his fault. You know? But at the same time, I have been saying for a few weeks now that something's fucky in Atlanta. And that might have been it, right? Like, you saw it when that little bounce back when McMillan took over from Pierce when he was actually having the baby. And I reckon that's maybe what's tipped the scales here, right? They've sort of seen their team go, oh shit, they're a bit more competitive when Nate McMillan was coaching. Fuck. Wonder if we switch it out, what's going to happen? And boom, a week and a bit later, see you, Lloyd Pierce. Fucking sucks. Tough scenes, though. Tell you what, though, that's how it goes. And again, it's one of those things, like we talked about when Ryan Saunders got fired. It's like, when you were watching Minnesota, at any point where you're like, wow, this coach really knows what he's doing. It's just the talent's not quite there. No. It's a very similar vibe, I think, for Lloyd Pierce. You watch Atlanta and you're like, why is this just bad? The pieces sort of seem to, like, ostensibly from a macro level kind of fit, and it's just not fitting on the court. It's weird. Anyway, unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me. Look at me.
Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. If Lloyd Pierce is getting shit canned, how the fuck does Luke Walton still have a job? Seriously. Luke Walton, what the fuck? Luke Walton's 44 and 62 in his tenure there in Sacramento. Lloyd Pierce was 63 and 120. And look, yeah, that's worse, but still. I think Trey Young and Atlanta and co. were coming from a lower spot than Sacramento had. But also, all the coaches can sort of say, yeah, this was a shitty thing to do to Lloyd Pierce and everything. But also, this is a GM saving his job if he thinks that Pierce isn't hitting the benchmark. So I kind of think the coaches are all going to fucking mouth their, you know, platitudes of like, oh, you know, that's a shitty thing to do to Lloyd Pierce. Yeah. But at the same time, I think it's right for your team if you're like, right, we need to move on. We're going to do it sooner rather than later. We're not going to let sentiment jump in the road. He just had a kid. Yeah, that sucks. He's going to get his payout. He'll be fine. So I think, you know, popular opinion of the day is you got to do what's right for your franchise, right? And if you think this is the right way, then I'm okay with that, I guess. But that leads very nicely into the Outback Takehouse for today. It's Tuesday at Outback, and you know what that means? Oh, yes, cassowary casserole. That's right, I've got to get on seek.com.au because that fucking bird killed 32 good men. And I need new kitchen staff. It got fucking loose and took out all of them. Anyway, tell you what, we brought him down, and it's fucking delicious. So cassowary casserole's up there on the specials board, only at Outback. And today's flame grill take is, the Hawks shouldn't make Nate McMillan interim head coach. They should just fucking bite the bullet right now, get Rondo to retire, and name him head coach. Only at Outback. In fact, he should be fucking player coach. Maybe he'd play better. Only at Outback. Yeah, that checks out. I'm actually on board with that. The Hawks very clearly wanted Rondo for his mentorship. And I think I, on my the Facebook post about Lloyd Pierce, I'm like, oh yeah, how's mentor Rondo going? Because going into this season, I'm like, yeah, there's no fucking way Rondo's going to be like, oh yeah, this is gnarly. I just won another title with the Lakers. What I would really like to do now is come off the bench, barely fucking play, and have to be like a bench coach for Trae Young. Because I've done that loads of times in my career. Yet. No, he's never done that. Of course he hasn't. So yeah, make him coach and away we go. Right, we'll be back in a second with Australian Player Watch right after this.
This is Shane Heal and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's talk about Knowable. What do Chris Paul, Scott Kelly, and Alexis Ohanian, the co-founder of Reddit, have in common? They've all got incredible experiences, and they've all created audio courses to teach you what they've learned because they're all on Knowable, which is a new app where the world's top experts teach you cool new stuff in bite-sized audio courses. It's awesome. It's like Spotify for learning stuff, and I love it. So, You've got the bloke from NASA, Commander Scott Kelly, teaching about space. You've got Chris Paul talking about plant-based lifestyles and the performance benefits therein. And you've got Reddit co-founder Alexis Ohanian teaching how to launch a startup. And there's over 100 other experts waiting to teach you something new. So if you're keen to learn something smart and new today, download Knowable. Visit knowable.fyi, that's K-N-O-W-A-B-L-E.fyi. Download the app, use the code Straya, get an additional 20% off. How good is that? What a deal. Anyway, I love Knowable. It's sick. I love them. I use it all the time. So now go give it a shot. Knowable. It's the best. Right, Australian Player Watch. Big Simo Ben Simmons in the win over Indy today at 18-4-6. I think I mentioned it was 18-4-2. No. I had the two steals in place of assists because I fucked up. 18-4-6. 7-11 from the floor. Four turnovers. A good game all round. Matty T. Matisse Thybulle. 21 minutes, 1 of 6 from the floor. Bulgies. One of six. Not great. 0 of 3 from downtown, but he did have 3 assists, 1 rebound, and 1 turnover, and was a plus 8. So, look, not all bad. Jingling Joe Ingles in the loss to the Pelicans. I'm not going to say it was his fault, but I'm also saying he didn't help them not lose. You know what I'm saying? 0 points in 22 minutes for Jingles. 0 of 3 from the floor. 0 of 2 from 3. He did have 2 rebounds, 2 steals, and a steal and a block. So that's pretty good. He had 1 turnover and was a minus 11, though. So, look, it's a tough one for Jingles. Last scoreless game was January 18, 2018. Jesus, I would have been freezing my ass off in fucking New York at that point. The squid would have been a fucking glint in my eye. Actually, it would have been just about a glint in my eye, I guess, around then. Anyway, congrats on the sex. Tough one for Jingles, but look, he'll bounce back. He'd been on a bit of a tear of late. Maybe he's got a bit of a sleepless night with his new squid. Patty Thrills, Patty Mills, in the loss to the Nets. Played a good game. 31 minutes, 14 points, 5 assists, shot 5 of 10 from the floor, had 4 of 8 from downtown as well. Not bloody bad, mate. Not bloody bad. And the last one, so no bangers today. Obviously, the game is postponed from tomorrow as well to Thursday. Dally still out with his concussion. Exum still out, still in a walking boot. That's the update on Dante Exum. Jesus. Dude's made of fucking glass. And Josh Green down there with the Salt Lake City Stars in the G League bubble. They lost and got eliminated from the playoff contention, actually, against the Vipers. He played 26 minutes. He had 10 points on 5 of 10 shooting, 0 of 3 from downtown. But he had 4 rebounds, 1 assist, and 3 steals as well. And Will the Thrill Magnate, he's got a game against Santa Cruz tomorrow. So keep an eye out for that one. Nice. Let's do a Shane Heal shooter shoot. Shoot your shot. Light him up award because it's Tuesday after all. Why the bloody hell not?
He threw it down. Are you healed? Are you healed?
Praise the Lord. I'm healed.
Praise the Lord for I'm healed. It is the Shane Heal
shooter shoot.
Shoot your shot. Light him up award. Gotta love that drop. It's the best. Anyway, the Shane Heal shooter shoot. Shoot your shot. Light him up award. For this week, he's going to go to Buddy Hield. Buddy Steph Curry Hield because he became the fastest player in NBA history to hit 1,000 threes. He did it in only 350 games. How's that? Buddy Hield became the fastest all time to hit 1,000 threes. So he hit 8 the other day against Charlotte. So that put him over 1,000. The 3 other players to hit 1,000 made threes in fewer than 400 games is Steph, Clay, and Dame. Not bloody bad company to be keeping, I reckon, if you're Buddy Hield. So Steph did it in 369 games, Clay in 372, and Dame in 385. And Buddy did it in 350. Mate, that's unbelievable. The fact that Buddy Hield is sitting there going, oh yeah, I'm basically the quickest to make 1,000 threes in the history of the NBA. That's pretty fucking good bragging rights, if you ask me. And that's some definite Shane Hill shooter shoot. Shoot your shot, light him up, Ward. Because Buddy Hield, in 350 games, has shot the shit out of that ball and shot his shot and lit him up because he hit 1,000 of them. God damn it! Not bloody bad. Buddy Hield. Right, the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in. This one's actually a Patty Mills Twitter check-in because Patty Mills finally jumped back on the tweet machine. It was great to see. So the Adelaide Crows AFLW team, today we're proudly supporting the We Got You campaign launched by club ambassador Patty Mills. We stand in solidarity against racism. Black heart emoji, yellow heart emoji, red heart emoji. Hashtag Crows AFLW, hashtag We Flyers One. Patty Mills retweeted that saying, powerful stuff. Well done, ladies. Leading the way on and off the field. Congrats on the win. Hashtag we got you. Hashtag we Flyers won. Fucking legendary. The Crows AFLW crushing it. Doing a great job. Especially in the Indigenous round of the AFLW. That's fucking awesome. So great job, everybody involved. Right, let's do some game previews for tomorrow.
Game previews. Game previews.
Thanks, inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem, Jimmy. Did you enjoy watching a bunch of hoops with the squid today?
I did. He's out there wanting to watch Paw Patrol. I'm like, nah, we'll just keep watching this. He's like, ah, but Dad, I want to watch Paw Patrol. I'm like, ah, keep watching this Blazers Hornets game. The mellow ball kid. You won't get it. He's like, who's that? Who's that? I'm like, that's Carmelo Anthony. He's like, who's that? Who's that? I'm like, that's Malik Monk. Who's that? Who's that? I'm like, fuck, this is gonna this is tough, but it was all right. He loved it. So today's picks out of the 7 games, I believe, we went 3 of 7 today. 1, 2, and 3. Yeah, missed a couple of them just because we went some underdogs yesterday and they just didn't quite cover. They came pretty close though. But anyway, so 3 of 7 today leaves us at 315 of 562 for the year. Pretty good though. Right, so tomorrow's games, we've got Memphis at Washington. The Memphis Grizzlies going to the Wizards. I'm going to take the Memphis Grizzlies minus 0.5. That's at 11 a.m. tomorrow. I think the Grizzlies, look, there's a team that just beat the shit out of the Houston Rockets. They've got a bit of confidence. They've got a bit of chutzpah about them. I'm feeling it. Let's go Memphis. I think they roll into a Washington team that have been feeling themselves as well. I think this is going to be a really good game. And I think Memphis win it because I think they've just got a little bit more grit. I love them. It's going to be fascinating to see who they throw at Brad Beal though, but I'm going to take Memphis minus 0.5. Clippers go to Boston. That's an awesome game. Talk about fucking, a bunch of pretty great wing lineups. And you've got, obviously, the two Jays there in Boston, though. I don't believe Jaylen Brown is actually playing tomorrow. He's out for a couple. Yeah, he's questionable, basically out. He's out with his knee, which sort of sucks because he didn't play against the Wizards. So what can I do? What can you do? But I'm going to take the Clippers minus 3.5 because if Kawhi and Paul George do their thing, they win this one pretty handily. So Clippers minus 3.5 should be pretty easy. Atlanta plus 3.5 against the Miami Heaters. I'm going on dead coach bounce for this. It didn't work in Minnesota. I think it'll work in Atlanta. Miami, look, they've been good. Butts took the day off the other day. They're in Miami. Atlanta can roll in. I think Trae Young and co. will be out to prove something, that it's not their fault that they got Lloyd Pierce fired. I think they'll come back. Dead coach bounce. Give me Atlanta plus 3.5 against Miami. The New York City Knickerbockers of New York City against the San Antonio Spurs. What's that? A 1999 NBA Finals rematch? The Knicks are plus 3 against the Spurs. I get that they're on the road. I get that it's the Spurs. The Spurs just played a really long overtime game against the Nets. I'm going to take the Knicks in San Antonio. Julius Randle filling himself, Emmanuel Quickley and co. Look, I think the Knicks, they probably shouldn't beat the Spurs, but I think they will. So give me the Knicks, plus 3. Denver at Milwaukee, who's our Gonquin for the good land. The Bucks are 6.5-point favorites against Denver. Denver on a back-to-back. I'm going to take the Bucks at home. Even against a good Denver team, I just think the Bucks will have way too much, especially at home, so give me Milwaukee. Lakers then host Phoenix at 2 p.m. tomorrow, Australian time, Eastern time, and they are 2-point favorites against the Suns. I'm going to take the Lakers at home, minus 2. The Suns, they're good. It's got Chris Paul. You've got Devin Booker. You've got DeAndre Ayton. The Lakers have a LeBron. And if he hasn't already, started to take off his All-Star break, I think they should win this. Dennis Schroeder's back. Give me minus 2, the Lakers. I think they'll be pretty okay against Phoenix, so should be good. And obviously, Detroit, Toronto's postponed. So there you go. There's all the picks for tomorrow. So give them all a smash. Go to NBA Australia. What's that? playup.com.au/NBA Australia. That's Playup Australia. playup.com.au/NBA Australia. Join up. Get around their NBA specials. Bet responsibly. Don't be a dickhead. Be over 18. That's it for today, though. We are back tomorrow. Loving this. As we're heading to the All-Star break. It's going to be fun as. Make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, because it's back now. Instagram, we're all over the socials, you know that. Get around World Wrestling Straya at the moment. Adam is absolutely crushing it this week. We've got the AEW Championship being defended and exploding barbed wire death match this week. Tony Storm's getting a women's titles match as well. There's lots of stuff going on, so pretty cool. World Wrestling Australia is awesome. Go smash that on YouTube with Adam. Get around NBAAustralia.com/shop. Buy some merch. Buy a hoodie. Buy a t-shirt. Buy a stubby holder. Go on. Check us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, whatever app you use on the Android phone. It does help out heaps, so please do it. Don't be a bastard. Chuck us a rating. TheDailyLiquor.com. Use the code STRAYA. Get a free six-pack of the DOS X. Don't say I never give you free beers. Knowable.fyi. Go there and get 20% off with the code STRAYA as well. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. Their album Running Out of Time is out now, and it's awesome. Big thanks also go to Joshua Delarantis, Fascinated, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, and Dozers. The tunes you hear throughout the show, give them all a smash from Bandcamp, Triple J and Earth, and Facey, Apple Music, Spotify. Remember, NBA Australia sports training bands. And I just want to tag this with like a, look, massive RIP to Michael Gudinski. I don't know how many of you folks out there know, but like, I mean, I spent my entire career in the music industry. I'm a music journalist by trade. I also just talk about basketball because it's fun. But Gudinski was a massive, massive figure in the music industry, especially here in Melbourne. And for everything that I did, being the editor of Beat, the editor of Triple J Mag and all that sort of stuff, I'd run into Gudinski on the odd occasion, had dinner with him once or twice. You'd see him all the time at industry events. And the one thing that always shone through is that his artists, he would fucking do anything for them. Anyone who was like, he basically had so much passion for everything that he and his company were involved in, and it was just fucking infectious. The dude was incredible. Australian music is the most like weirdly sort of diverse, strange, fun kind of music industry I've ever been a part of, you know, better than the US, UK, everywhere else. Just, and a lot of it's got to do with that dude. The stuff that he built, the stuff that he believed in, and it's really fucking sad that he died, so... thinking of all my mushroom family today. Bunch of legends over there. Michael Gudinski, RIP. Absolute fucking legend. Look, I think I tweeted out, like, there's no one else that the man, the myth, the legend sort of lived up to better in the Melbourne music industry, well, the Australian music industry than Gudinski. What a fucking legend. We're all the poorer for losing him today. RIP, Gutters. Love talking shit with that guy. Anyway. All right. Bit of a sad note. It sucks. Right, we'll close off today's show with Jingles HR, and we'll catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, and lederhosen.
Oh, g'day. Joe Ingles here, head of Jingles HR, the world's leading HR solutions firm, because yep, when I'm not sinking threes, blowing kisses, or enjoying my real estate in Paul George's head, I'm the world's leading HR expert, and I'm here to help you with all your HR questions and problems. So, let's get to this week's question, shall we? And this one comes from a Lloyd in Atlanta. My dearest, sweetest Joe. Oh, geez, all right. Mate, I've just spent 2 years in a pretty fun job, teaching a bunch of our really young employees how to do things the right way, etc. And it's been really rewarding. Sure, we didn't score too many massive wins for the company, but I thought we were on the right track. Then today, I find out I've been bloody fired. How do you like that? I mean, it's not my fault that management decided to hire a bunch of new blokes who never rocked up on time, always chuck called in sick, and when they did rock up, weren't really on board with the way we did things here, and I bloody well copped the blame. How's that fair? Anyway, Joe, I also just had a little baby, and I just got fired. And I don't know what I'm going to do. Have you got any tips? Yours sincerely, Lloyd, Atlanta. Oh, geez. Look. First things first, Lloyd, congrats on the new baby. That's terrific. As a new dad myself, I get it. That's legendary. Good on you, mate. Secondly, cheers for writing in, because I really do appreciate this, and it really does let me, you know, have a look at this tricky situation for you. That's also, you know, due to COVID, not so uncommon at the moment. But as a HR manager, situations like this are the toughest. To ever deal with and get through, because you want to help employees through changes and additions to their family situations and not bloody well fire them. So it is the tough side of HR, I'll tell you that much. So what I do in your shoes is, if you get a bit of a severance package, just take a bit of time off with the family. Simple as that. Just be there for them, Lloyd, because you got to look at this like an opportunity that you might not get again, and really throw yourself into it. And then when you've given family life a bit of a go for a bit, turn your attention back to your career.
Because nothing's more important than your family, and jobs will always be out there if you're good enough. But you're going to have a bit of drive, take a bit of time off, then get back right into it, and you'll be laughing. So, I mean, the job's out there. You just got to know when you need to find it. You know, take a bit of you time, take a bit of family time, and then when you're ready, go back to it. Because the jobs are out there, mate. I'm a HR manager. I know that better than anyone. So spend your time with your family. Use that time maybe as well to teach yourself some new skills. Take stock of what you learned over the last couple of years. Apply that to finding your new next gig only when you're ready. And trust me though, your family will love your guts for hanging out with them for a bit. And that perspective will really probably make your eventual turn to the workforce all the more rewarding in the long run. Because remember, make sure you make your human resource, you, work for you and for your family. Now, that's just great human resources. I mean, as we say here at Jingles HR all the time, it's not your bloody fault you got fired. It's the other jokers who don't know their ass from their elbow. So, look, I hope that helps out there, Lloyd, and best of luck with the next gig and best of luck with the family. So, all right, that's all good time for this week. I've been Joe Ingles. Get a job up, ya. Yeah.